Right. Good evening, everyone. We want to give God thanks. We've reached midweek. Want to give God thanks for all his blessings. Want to give God thanks for the beautiful sunshine outside all day, all of the week since Monday. We just want to give God thanks. Sabbath was also a beautiful day as well. So we want to give God thanks. And we want to give God thanks that we were able to go out and did our little flowers drive as we, you know, that's a soft touch. And we got at least one response that I know about. And apart from those who actually had seen us on the day and said, okay, this is a lovely gesture. So we can count those into what God's blessing is on the program. All right. And today I want us to just, you know, it's not singing. I'm going to try and read something for you. It's from the hymnal, though. It's 516. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him I dwell. For I know what here befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know what here befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. And this evening our topic is reassurance. And I just want to encourage us that despite what's going on, we can be reassured. But let us pray. Mighty Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your watch care. We thank you for your mercies and your grace that covers us all. Lord, we do not know what the future holds, but we know you hold the future. But we trust, Lord, that whatever the future holds for us, it will also end up with us being in your kingdom. And so we present ourselves this evening humbly before you. Nothing great, nothing powerful, nothing that is so there to show that we need to. But we know that you said, come boldly. And so we're coming to worship and to praise and to give you thanks and to ask you, Lord, to just guide us on this part of life that you've put us on and to help us to get into the heavenly kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. All right. You know, Isaiah 43 and verse 2 is becoming one of my favorite texts. So I like us to look at it. And I'm reading it from two versions. The King James Version says, when I pass through the water, when thou pass through the water, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And though the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall flame kindle upon thee. And the Amplified Version only changed it a little bit in the section when it says, when thou walkest through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And I just want us to realize that that's a very reassuring text, that God is in control, whatever is happening around us. And despite things happen to the contrary, in a negative way, we should look for the positive. It's hard to say when you are in it that look for the positive. But I also believe that God knows our heart. And if we are saying, Lord, I can't see the positive, but I'd like to find it, he will show us. Maybe not the very same day, maybe not the very same time, maybe weeks later, months later, years later, but he's going to show us. Because God has never failed to enlighten his people as to what he's about. And then if you look at Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, I was talking to somebody, you know, the coronavirus thing on the mask on the train brought in a conversation. And this person was saying, it is my understanding, or it is that the person is saying, like, it is their understanding that the mask protects you from catching corona. And I said, it's an understanding, but not everybody agrees with that understanding. And he's saying, well, the scientists, they do it, they said it, they know. And I'm saying, the scientists are just like me and you. They're feeling their way through it just like me and you. They're blind as bat, just like me and you. They're only trying to say this is the best way they see forward. When you look at it, if you want to be practical, God make us to to be able to do certain things. We're carefully and wonderfully made. He made us to inhale and exhale. And when we start exhaling and inhaling back what we're exhaling, it cannot be good because God did not make us to go like that. For a moment, you can wear it if you're in somewhere where you feel unsafe or uncomfortable. But I see people have it done all day. They're walking by themselves on the street and they have on this mask. They're not with anybody. Nobody's near them. And they still have on this mask. And I'm saying, how is that affecting the lungs? Yeah, the lungs need fresh air to flow in and flow out for you to be. But I am not going to really spend time on that. I just wanted to say that in God's creation, he knew exactly how the body should operate. And you have millions of cells that does millions of different things. But all of them come together for doing one thing, keeping you alive and keeping you moving. That's what they're all doing. There's no cell that is in the body that does not contribute to your movement or your life. Let's put it that way. Might not contribute to your physical movement, but if you inhale, there must be some messages running from some place to say that's what you need to do. And if you exhale, that's what it does. And if you want to move your hand, there's a message run from somewhere to tell the right hand that that's the one you want to move. You know, I'm just looking at it from that point. Nothing is done. We might get up and say, oh, I just wake up this morning. But you know how much muscles and how much nerve endings and so kick in for that, for your eyes to open and for you to be conscious and know that, oh, today's what, Wednesday? Yeah, today is Wednesday, and I am going to be going to work. All of that you do normally and regularly. So to you take it for granted. But that's God in his wisdom. So he's reassuring us that there is nothing. If we trust in him and lean not on what I understand, I don't know how the body works efficiently enough to do any form of study or say, I know. But I know one thing, that the man who makes the body knows how it works efficiently. And he's saying, trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your thinking, all the processes in your, I think, give God that. Trust God by giving it to him. And when you do that, don't go back and try and sci-fi it out for yourself, because that's your understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit to interpret and to allow, impress, and to open your mind to what is happening. And guess what happens? Sometimes we're looking for, I don't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I don't feel it. But you know something? Sometimes the Holy Spirit sends somebody with just two words that answer that problem, that question. You know, sometimes we're looking for something in us to feel a way. We say, I don't feel like I'm spiritually ready. I feel like I'm not there yet. But what's the feeling? The Holy Spirit, God says, our righteousness is like 50 rocks. So we cannot be reassured that we are ever going to reach that level without God. You understand me? There's no way we can say to ourselves, I'm going to make it to the kingdom if God is not helping us. We are already reassured that it's only God that can help us to get to that level. Nobody else. You can't make it on your own. I can't help you to make it to that level in terms of getting to righteousness. I can encourage you to study the word. I can encourage you along. But as I encourage you, you are encouraging me. Because when you start studying, I feel, let me go and do some study. So if anything, I don't have to ask me a question. At least I'll be able to read and say, I know that much, or I studied that bit. Or I'm not sure I understand it at all. But guess what happened? God don't require any of that. God does it, and he knows it's ready. All he's saying to us, I have done everything. I've paid the price. There's nothing you need to do to get to kingdom. All you need to do is to help others to get to kingdom. Because we are created to be social beings. We are created to connect with other people. We're never created to be alone. Despite what you think, the worst person we could ever think about, and I don't know if that's the right term, but the man who, like Adolf Hitler, let's go as far as that. He still had friends. He still had people who he confident in who he would, if they weren't there, he wouldn't be successful. In whatever he did, he would not have gone that far because he had these people that supported. What I'm trying to say is that there's no man that is an island, no man that operates on his own, no matter who you be. Whether you're good or you're bad, you have your crew. There's a little corner that you feel safe in. There's a little corner that you feel reassured in. But the word of God is reassuring us tonight. And as I say, it's assurance. Psalm 16 and verse 8. Can somebody read that one for me, please? Psalm 16 and verse 8. Let us get our Bibles out because I'm going to be asking for a few readers, please. Anybody?
Psalm 16, verse 8.
Yes.
The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, yet I have a good inheritance.
All right. So again, it's a text of reassurance. I see Donna's face like I'm not sure if that how that is reassuring. You understand what you're thinking?
No. Sorry. I think what did you say that was? I think I got the wrong chapter. Psalms.
I have set the Lord always.
Yeah, that's what.
Psalm 16.
Yeah, that's why I'm on face. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Okay. In my version, it says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And this is it. It's a reassurance. All the difficulty we will go through, if God is with us, it is still a blessing. It is still an upliftment. We might fall, we might stumble, and we feel the pain. And we're going to say, oh, well, how God allowed this? But you know, it could be worse. Stop and think that what you're going through could have been worse. But God is saying, once you keep your eyes on me, even in the difficult times, even when you don't understand what is happening, even when you're not sure whether you can do it or not, I, as you set your eyes on the Lord and keep him at your right and keep trusting him, hang on to him, you shall not be moved. You shall not be shaken. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. That's what he's saying, you know. God will always love you. And I want to ask a question, and I'm asking for four answers. I see that we have five dots, so we might have more than four people. Is there any time that God does not love you? Is there anything you can do for God not to love you? Is there anything that you can do to say to God, I don't trust your, I don't want your reassurance. Don't reassure me. Anybody?
I think he gave us the best thing that he could ever do, the closest thing to him, which was his son. And that's a great love. So I can't imagine him not loving me.
Good. And there's nothing we can do that will turn God away from us. We can turn away from him, but God's love is constant. God is always going to be there. But when we turn away, he's not going to force us to come back. But if we come back that second, God is still going to say yes. Do we know that? No matter where or far we drift from God, he reassures us that once we come to him in faith and honesty and humility, with humbleness of heart, he's going to say yes. Anybody challenge that? He's going to say yes. You know why he's going to say yes? Because he sent his son, as Jen said, to die for us. There's no way that he can give up that big sacrifice. And then when I didn't go to church for 6 months and cuss him, tell him no, he's no good, he's going to turn his back on me. Because I said that out of my stupidity and my anger. He's not going to do that. He will. There's consequences for everything. So he will let me know that I was wrong. But he's still going to love me anyway. And if I genuinely and sincerely come back to him, he's still going to accept me anyway. And it's my decision that I don't make it to the kingdom. It's not God's. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Is it God's decision that I don't make it to the kingdom? It's not his. Because if it was his, then my choice that I would have been useless, because I could not choose to go to the kingdom if he says I am not going. But if I choose to go to the kingdom and follow the word of God and humble myself and repent, I am going to make it to that kingdom, because that's what God requires of me to make it to the kingdom. And on my way, he says, all the people you see along your way, encourage them to follow you. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So he's saying, as you come to the kingdom, don't come selfish, don't come alone. Encourage somebody else to come with you. If you hear about something good, are you going to just keep it to yourself? At least you're going to encourage one of your friends or two of your friends to come along with you.
But you need to encourage them in the correct way.
That's true. Mm-hmm. What's the correct way?
The correct way is with love, showing Jesus. You're not going to ram the Bible down their throats. You're going to live the life.
All right, I hear that, but I don't believe. You know what I always say? Telling people the word of God, the way, like going to the Bible. I don't think that's encouragement enough. Encouragement is understanding and loving them where they are. For me, that's encouragement. When you love me and understand me where I am at, then I will be more open to what you're going to tell me next or what you're going to show me next or the Bible. But if you're just pushing Bible and you're not even seeing where I'm at, you don't see that I'm still on my knee falling down. You don't see that I'm still hungry. You don't see that I am not even sure whether I'm going to be able to pay my bills tomorrow morning. You don't see that I don't have any food in my house. You don't see that I don't have anybody loving me. I don't feel loved or cared for. Then the Bible is secondary, if you're going to look at it that way. Because if you miss all of those, it says you must love your neighbor as yourself. All right. Let's go on from there. Romans 15:13, please. I remember we're talking about reassurance. These are texts that reassures us that God has made everything that we need to make it to the kingdom. And even in our difficulties, God is still going to be there. And even when we turn our back, he's still just waiting with open arms for us to turn around.
Was that Romans 15:13?
Do you want us to read it?
Yes, I want somebody to read. When I call a text, I'm just going to ask a reader, please.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
All right, let's look at the text. The God of hope fills you with joy and peace. Can we find joy anywhere else apart from God? Real joy, I mean. We can say we're happy, but deep down, if we should assess ourselves, are we? Donna?
I'm just saying it depends what joy you're looking.
Yeah, but real joy requires God to be a part of that.
When you're talking to somebody who believes in church, what if the person doesn't believe in church, doesn't believe in God, but they can find joy elsewhere? How would we say to them, real joy is having God in your life, having the love of God in your life?
But if you want to test that, I when I used to take the train in the mornings, I used to say to people would come and stand up in my face. That was before Corona. Literally stand up so close to me that I can hardly breathe without them being there. And sometimes they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry I can't. I said, it's right. Train is all of us. Come on in. And sometimes they look at me like, weird. Why are you so pleasing and so polite this out? And I keep reassuring people. And two of them started a conversation with on the train. And to this day, we still every now and again catch up. And you know, other conversations started because I said to them, one of them told me they don't believe in this God thing. When I started saying, you know, when the person asked me, why am I so? I said, well, you know, God help all of us. God make all of us. We are just here for each other. We're supposed to support each other. I don't believe in that. It's just a gentleman. And I said to him, you know something? Tell me what minute and second of this morning that your eye opened. And did you have to get some? Do you know where the air is coming from for the oxygen you're breathing? Do you know? Did you have to plug in something in order to get up? And he looked at me and laughed. But then he came back and he said, you know, you're right. Although I don't believe in that man, you're right. And then after that, we have been having a conversation and we're still having the conversation every now and again. We don't see each other that much now because I don't take the train anymore from Wood Street up because the cost is massive. But at the same time, I had his number and he has mine and we still keep a little connection. And he's now realizing that really and truly, for us to do things, we have a power. He's now saying it's a power. He'll come around one day to actually saying it's God. But he's now saying there must be a power outside of human being that keeps them going. Prior to my talking to him, to what he professed, he didn't believe that there was no power. He believed a man just lived. When a man that time come and him dead, him just dead. That's it. But now the thought is gradually changing. So we have to look at it. In all of this, real joy and real peace. We can say we have happiness and peace because we have the little things we need. But when we really want real joy, it's only when all those little things are stripped away and we really have to face the real nitty-gritty, as we say in Jamaica, when the rubber meets the road. That's when we know if we have real joy now. That's when we know if we are happy. COVID tested some people and we will see the outcome of the joy and the peace. But we have to know that even in this difficult time, what we are supposed to be doing is spreading love. We might not be able to hug up and we might not be able to go near each other. We might not, but we can say, do you want me to drop something off at your door for you? Do you want me? How are you? Is there anything you need? I could just drop it at your door for you. Offer. Be there. Be open to that. But it says also, that this peace and joy and its trust in him is also through the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit in as a part of our life. He has to be part of us. And if he's not there, all of this is us pretending. I was looking for a better word when I was preparing this, but I can't find a better one. All of what we are doing, if the Holy Spirit is not there, we're only pretending. And then somebody might quickly want to ask me, what about God? Yeah, Donna?
No, I was just saying, you said pretending. I said, all that we're doing is all in vain.
Exactly. Because what happened? Somebody say to me, and what about God and Jesus? We don't need the Holy Spirit. But how do we communicate with God and Jesus? When something really happens to you and you just make one big ball out, you can't even come out with a word. But there's a ball. The Holy Spirit collect that and then fix it up in the word and then go to Jesus and say, listen, that's what your child is calling on you for that. And the father say, okay, I get the message too. And all three of them come together and usher you through the time of bereavement, usher you through the time of loss, usher you through the time of loneliness, usher you through all of that. The three of them are there carrying you through it. But for your feeble information to get to God in the way it should be, the Holy Spirit have to fix it up. It's like a child come and is crying, and it's while they're crying, they're talking to you. You have a child doing that? They're talking to you, but they're crying, and they're more crying than they're talking. And the only thing is, because you're the parent, then you understand clearly what they are saying. And somebody say, what did you say? They don't understand because they are not the parent. But God, who is our Father, he hears our cry. And in whichever way you do it, he still know what that means. So to Lord of mercy, he still know what that means. Just sit down and look and don't say a word, he still understand what that means. There's no way you can go to God or no language you can bring to God that he cannot understand. And that's where the reassurance comes in, that we need to realize that God says, as long as you come to me sincerely, genuinely, humbly, I am there. See? And the way to do... Yes, Donna, go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking, as you say that, that's because God has that assurance because he knows us better than we know ourselves. It tells us that. So, you know, even when we don't know how to do something, he sees on our behalf, and he knows. Well, he knows everything before we come to him anyway. You know what I mean? But yeah. For me, I'm the kind of, you know, when I think about it, because I know there's a God, so maybe how I will do things is different than somebody who's not believing that there is a God. So where would they get assurance from?
But do you realize that since COVID, a lot of people did not go to church or who said they didn't believe in God is now realizing that there is that source out there. And it's the only reason is because God says, I'll take his Ten Commandments off tables of stone and put it in your heart. There's no real human being out there who can say they don't believe in God. They can deny it all they want. They can become atheists all they want. They can, but when it comes down to the wire, if they buckle to what name here they call out first? Do they hear they call out some atheist name? They're bawling out for Jesus. They've got their toe on a piece of concrete or on a piece of thing. And whose name they fly out of the mouth? Because it is ingrained in man to believe and to worship God. But man also have a choice to choose against that. And this is why we have this conflict and problem. Because man has a choice to choose against that. But deep down in the man's heart, he knows there's a God. Even when...
There's a difference between knowing God and believing God. Knowing there is a God and actually believing in God. I could know there's a God and know that the God is there, but do I really deep down believe in him? Does that make sense?
It does.
You know that there's a God, but do you really, really believe in that God?
And that is why I said earlier, that every man know that there's a God. But it's his choice now to choose to either accept and believe or reject and go his way. But he cannot say, I am not aware that there's a God. The Bible tells us, that he moves, he takes his commandment, his life from off the tables of stone and put it in our heart. So there is, I might not be too clear as to what this God is about and all of the intricacies around God, but I am aware that there is a source more powerful than me that keeps me going. And when I want to call him God, yes or no, that's it. Donna?
But then as you're saying that, and also from what Jennifer was saying, although they might not say God, but they know there's some kind of being out there. Because they will say, they know there is something bigger than man. So yeah. Whether or not they want to acknowledge it, because I've had someone tell me, your God, and blah, blah, blah. Then you see when all this COVID started, and I said, what do you mean, my God? I said, God is there for everybody. And then it's like, no, well, I don't believe God, but I know there's something out there which is more than man. It's more than man. But when the COVID started and things started happening, then they come and then they said, you know, they were like, you know, God needs to bring an end to this. So I'm like, oh, there's God now. You know, so I just think, as you said, because we have a choice, we choose whether or not, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to follow everybody and say God. I just know that there's somebody higher out there, somebody bigger than me as a man.
What I want to say then, for the people who are in Beirut tonight, the hundreds that are mourning the loss of their loved ones, how would you, if say there's someone here from that neck of the world and will question, God would have known those explosives were going to go off and that all those people would be killed and the thousands across the whole of the country would experience that devastation, why didn't he stop it? And that's a question that I get faced with in when people go through different challenging circumstances. And I try to reassure them and say, God is still in control and God will help you through it. But their question is, if he's as loving as you say, where's the preventative measure?
I think that is where, if you know God and if you believe in God, there's a difference. Because in our lives, we've had some devastating things that's happened in our lives. But because we believe in God, we're able to cope with it a little bit better. And I realized that it came to me when a few years ago, I've done jury service a few times. And a few years ago, the last time I did it, it was in the coroner's office. And all I dealt with was suicides. It was just suicides. And it was 2 weeks of suicides, yeah? And each case, as I listened to each case, it was where someone had felt that they had no more hope and the last thing that they had to do was to end their lives. When somebody believes in God, because as a believer, you would try God first, wouldn't you? You should try God first. But even if you put him towards the end, you would have that belief in him. You know that there's a reason why he does things. You that belief in you trust in his judgment. But if you don't have that belief in your mind, you will think to yourself, well, how could God do this? How could God do that? You wouldn't think to yourself, it could be because it's for a reason. There is a reason behind it. We may not be able to see the reason now, but there's a reason behind it. God doesn't allow anything to happen unless it's for a reason. But it's hard to tell that to somebody else unless they have that belief in their hearts. Yeah. It's hard to convince somebody of that. But sometimes if you live that belief in your heart, they could see it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, but what about, as you're saying that, Jen, but think about it, we still have Christians that commit suicide. And they could be going to church for years, and they could be the Bible scholar of the century. But yet they end that. So they end their life. And if you're saying, our assurance is that, you know, as you said, God lets things happen for a reason. We don't necessarily know what the reason is. But through our studies and through, you know, talking, being in the church setting, you know this. So we just kind of, I don't know if it's the right word is to say that we just accept how things are, but, you know, because we know that everything is in God's plan.
Yeah.
And how do we? So don't get me wrong, because I would find it hard to explain, because as Johnny said, that question,
it's hard.
I get that all the time. I get that when we talk about certain things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would say, well, God has a plan for things to happen. Well, why would he want people to die and blah, 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 blah? And then sometimes I get stuck because I'm really, well, how do you really reassure people that this is all part of the master plan and things have to happen in order for, you know, so
So another thing, can I also say something, please? One of the things that sometimes we need to remember that first and foremost, out of all of God's creation, we are the only ones that have our own minds to think to do evil or to think to do good. And there are some people that are just going to do bad things. And, you know, and there's no explanation in this. And sometimes we've just got to let go and just be honest. I've had to say, I do not know, because sometimes we cannot explain what is going on or why it's happening.
All right,
just before we move on, I just wanted to say, I may be wrong, but I slightly disagree that we're the only ones that had that choice, because if that was the case, there wouldn't have been a third of the angels that accompanied Lucifer. So they also decided to go against God's will.
That's very true. Sorry, Janet, this is exactly what I'm saying, is that we, you know, when you, what you're saying is absolutely right. There is a choice. And sometimes some choose to do whatever they do. And there's, in my opinion, there's no answer to it at all. There's no explanation that you can give. And we may sometimes try and find the explanation, but sometimes it's just not easier to say, but honest enough to say, I do not know.
But all right, let us come back on track. I do agree that there's a lot of questions we can't answer. But I've also, when I say we can't answer, we can't give a definite answer to why these things happen. But I've also said, because we have choice, things will happen, because it's about whether we connect to each other. And if we don't connect to each other, then I'm not really going to care what happens to you. And that's how sometimes I explain it, that people do things because they are not connected to others. But God allows things to happen because that's the world we chose to be in. But that's another position on it. And then we want to look at another text, because I believe that sometimes it's not about telling them the text. It's about living in that difficult moment that they can see a difference. Like a lot of people at my place will say, oh, this COVID has put undue pressure on that. And I said to them, yes, but are we not still being able to go out and do what we have to do? Yeah, but if COVID wasn't here, I said, if COVID wasn't here, something else should have been there. I said, when COVID wasn't here, we were still having missed calls. We're still having medication concerns. We have all of that just the same. Now that COVID is there, we have more, because people don't trust you to come into the house. And so they try to take it before you come, when they should have waited on you. But it's not COVID alone that caused it. There are some people who just think they can do it themselves. And because you grew up independently of yourself for 60 years, 70 years, and then all of a sudden, this stranger is imposed in your life to tell you, oh, it's time for you to take your medication. People will go ahead and try to do it before you come. And that creates problem when they take the wrong set and they take the wrong things. But I have said to them that COVID is not the only problem. There have been problems before COVID. COVID might be a large-scale problem that we are now facing, and everybody has to face it. Sorry, but there are other problems that have come before that we now still have to face. And whatever we are, as long as we are alive, we're going to be facing problems. So let's look at our reassurance that God has given us. In, I would like somebody to look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. And then I want to jump down to Hebrews 6:19. So I'm just giving three texts. Hebrews 6:19. And then 2 Timothy 1:7. Those are the last set of texts I will give out. And then we'll go from there.
Did you say the first one was 1 Corinthians 15?
1 Corinthians are coming again. 1 Corinthians 16:16.
Oh, sorry, 16. Okay.
Yeah. 16:13.
In the meantime, stay alert, be on guard, hold on to what you believe, be strong and full of courage.
Right.
And
before we read the other one, we were just talking, and here's the word reassuring us that even when we can't give answers to all these a question that we'll get, we must hold on to what we believe. We must stay on guard. Because there are some people who very well know why that is how people live, why these things are happening. But they'll come because you're a Christian to try and use it to see if they can dethrone you. And if your faith is not strong, you're going to say, yeah, then you know the right. But the devil is one of the smartest person existing around, if you want to look at it that way. And if I can call him a person, he came out of heaven with everything he got, you know. God didn't say, oh, now you're coming out of heaven, I'm going to take away this from you, I'm going to take away that from you. He can sing like an angel. He can sing the best songs there is because he was the archangel. He can move as fast as he used to before because that is it. The thing about it, he can't be everywhere at one time. But he has his agent and they can move around and there are more than the amount of people on the face of the earth. And that's what we need to realize. But God has not limited. The Bible didn't tell us that God reduced Satan's power when he kicked him out of heaven. No. And there was a time when he could visit heaven, even when he was kicked out. It was after the death of Christ that he couldn't go back. Because the Bible tells us that there was a meeting being held. And who presented himself? The meeting was being held in heaven, you know, but Satan presented himself. God asked, from where are you coming from? Who are you? Where are you coming from? He said, I'm going to and fro the earth. And then God says to him, have you considered my servant Job? God opened up the same earth that he thinks he's going to and fro to show him that he has control. He still is in charge. He says, have you considered my servant Job? And all the excuses start. Well, I won't go on the Job message today. I just want us to stay reassured that there's nothing that will take God by surprise. There's nothing that is going to happen that God don't know is going to happen. There's nothing that will happen next week that catch God off guard. Next year, 20 years from now, everything that is going to happen, God knows how it's going to play out. And he knows that these questions we're getting, he knows they were coming. And he's saying in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong. Don't give up by any little whim of doctrine that people want to bring to you. And if you, I don't know you, Christian. All right, thank you. We're still holding on. Because if you let go what you believe, what is left? If you let go the fact that you know that God is there, what is left? It's like somebody telling you, as a mere man, that I'm not a man. And I take that on. Then what am I then? You know, they can say what they want to say, but I know who I am. And that's it. Bottom line. And the same thing the Bible is asking us to be strong in the faith. We believe in God. We know there's a God. We accept that there's a God and we have seen God at work. Why are we worried about the rest of it? So the next one, the next text, it jumped down to Hebrews 6:19. Was that the next one? Yeah. Hebrews 6:19.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
Right. So that's Hebrews 6:19. 2 Timothy 1:7. Anybody? For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. That I'm reading from a different version from the King James. But you see, if you go to the King James version, it says, let's go to the King James version.
It says, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and discipline.
All right. So you see right there and then, when we are reassured that no matter what's going on, God is saying to us, he didn't give us a spirit of fear. We shouldn't be frightened this time. We shouldn't be in this time, be too concerned about the outcome. Let's be concerned about how can we show Christ? How can we live so that others can see Christ? And it's a choice, as we say, that people choose to follow Christ. If they don't, you only want to be reassured that you have done your best to let others see Christ in you. You have done your best in how you conduct yourself, in what you say, in where you go, what you do. And as long as you have done that and you are living according to the word of God, what more is there? You know, so I trust that as we close this evening, that we realize that even in a difficult time like now, the Bible is encouraging us, that we are reassured that God is always going to be there. He's always in control. And there's nothing that will happen to us that he doesn't permit. And if he permits it, there's a reason for it that we might not know, but he permits it for a reason. We might just be a lesson for someone else, but he knows that I can go through it, so he permits it to happen to me, so that that the lesson will come out, that someone else will learn it. It might be just something that I need to look into myself, and he permits it to happen so that I will have time to sit back and look into myself and say, you know, really and truly, this is what you're going on with is not right. This you should have been doing, and you spend all the time doing something else. So God had to slow you down in order for you to do the right thing. Sometimes we don't know the method that he will use, but God's method is always to the point where it will bring us to the kingdom. God is never going to use a method to dissuade us from coming to the kingdom or to persuade us not to serve him. Never any of God's method like that. God's method, no matter what method he uses, it is to draw us closer to him. Yes, Donna, I saw you. All right. So that, as we close, let us be reassured that even in a difficult time like now, even with the losses of family members, even with the losses of work colleague, even with the losses of our job, even with the threat of losing job, even the, whatever it is, remember that God will not leave his children unprotected, uncovered. And he always has that edge around us. And I will hasten to say that a lot of time we say we believe. I'm trying to fix it before I say it. All right. A lot of time we say we believe, but we have to put our saying in action. Does that make sense? I don't know if it come out right. We say, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But when things happen, we don't stand up like we believe. We don't say, well, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. So this is what I believe in. This is what I'm holding on to. We circle away and we hide in the corner so that nobody will see us. And then when everything comes back on its normal, we say, yeah, we believe. But God is saying, in this time, stand up and be counted. And I don't mean go and start a war with people and argue with people and live, oh, well, you know, you don't believe God. No, no. I mean, let the word of God guide our step. And if that's what it means, then stand up and say, this is what I believe in. Unfortunately, people will not necessarily always agree, but we need to stand up and let God does the rest of the work. He doesn't need us to fight for him. Either. He doesn't need us to debate for him neither. He can sort that out. But once we stand up and live according to what we believe, and even somebody says, why are you doing that? It's a stupid little thing you're doing. It don't make sense. You don't go to church and you can't sing. Go to church anyway. Whether you can sing or you can't sing in the church, go to church. COVID say you can't sing, let's go to church. And we have other ways we can praise the Lord. And I said, somebody said that to me just today. Oh, you're going to go to church and you can't sing. And I said, recorded music is why they have these people who sing all them time, long time before now. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to be playing them loud enough for everybody to hear it as well. That's how I see it. If we can't verbally, physically sing it, let's play the music of the yesteryear, the new one, everything. Play the worship songs. Put them out there still. Church will still be good. And in that, we can have a rock our head, and those who can rock and those who can do a little shake, we do it. But we're praising the Lord. Let your heart do the shake. You're praising the Lord. That's where you need to be. Don't be cowed down by, oh, I can't sing, so I'm just going to sit and look here in the morning. No, we're going to praise God. We're going to get up and praise God. We don't have to mix up to praise God. When it comes out, we can say hallelujah. And if all of us say hallelujah nicely to ourselves, it won't spread anything, but people understand that. When they hear the music, all those people over there still worshiping. You know that gospel music that we played in 1940? We can play a few of them, Jim Reeves. And we can come back and play a few, King Harold. And we can come back and play some of these more recent ones. Come on, you all know Hezekiah Walker, some of them recent ones. We can play some recent, but if we mix it up right and put it together, the music department can make a big worship out of those recorded music. And then we can have our prayers and go home. That's church. All of those recorded music, two scripture, have a prayer and go home. We don't need to a platform party. We don't need all of that. We just need to get into the house of the Lord and start praising him. He will guide our steps as we go back out into it. So thank you for listening. And be reassured that as long as you trust God, nothing, And I'm not going to say that with any hesitation. Nothing will happen that God does not permit. And nothing will happen to you that God thinks is going to go contrary to what his word is. He will protect you for your dearest life as long as you trust him. And when he doesn't put that edge of protection like Job, he opens the door, but he's not going to let Satan go further than he wants him to go. And that's what we have to be reassured about. So have a good rest of the week. Remember this as we go off to our bed, that we only need to trust in God and allow him to take control. Once it's his will running things, everything will be all right. If it's our will, we're going to have problems. But we don't even know what we're doing for ourselves. Let's just bring other people into it. Relationship with God means he has to be the lead. And that's what we need to do. So be reassured that God is still waiting on us to come. God is still there. And he's never going to leave us on our own. Never. No matter how we feel like we're down, that's when he's picking us up and carrying us. When we feel down and feel like God gone somewhere, that's when he's carrying us. We're just not feeling his presence because we are not walking. He's carrying us. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard. Obviously, the theme that was running from this morning with our morning devotion, trust and assurance, and to come now to our evening, the reminder of having assurance that God, regardless of what is going on in life, whatever things that we're facing, everything is part of God's plan. And, you know, at the end of the day, he has our best interests in heart, whether or not we choose to decide to follow him or not. So thank you, Howard, for doing that. Can we just have one volunteer prayer to close?
Before we, if you don't mind, before we pray to close, let us remember our youngsters, whether they're part of Stokey Church or not, all the youngsters within our church, but all the other churches. And there's a lot of youngsters who are not getting what their job, who have been struggling. And among our own, we have a few. They might not have said it to everybody, but we have our youngsters struggling to maintain what they were doing before, because some place is not taking them back, some place saying they lose money so they don't have nothing to. So let's pray for our youngsters, that they will keep the faith, they'll keep strong, and they will, wherever they work, they'll still be live up to that standard that people will see it, and that God will do what he has to do. If they're not getting back that job, they'll get something else, or he'll show them the direction. Or young people. We have a few as well who are sick among us. They're trying their best to stay on top of the water and not to complain, but we still have to remember our sick people among us and our shut-ins. We have quite a few of our senior members who are there. We need to remember them in our prayers. So whosoever is going to pray, that these are the areas I jumped to mind that we should cover. And families. Families are really taking a beating at this time because of a lot of things. Because some people can't mix with some people, even though they're family, because they have underlying conditions and all of that. And the kind of work the other person do will put them at risk. So the volunteer prayer, please.
Okay, let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this another midweek day. As we've come on a Wednesday and we come together to just share something from the Bible, and the theme has been about assurance. Being assured of your love for us, Lord, being assured that you want nothing but the best for us, and being assured that even if we don't accept you, you still love us and accept us, and you want us to be saved. Now, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity where we can meet together so we can discuss your word quite frankly and openly, and we can share opinions with each other. Lord, I put the youth before you now, and you see everything that's going on, whether those who are being disheartened at this time, those who are struggling. I pray not that you just be with each and every one of them now. Lord, show your love to them. Show them a sign that, you know, you just want what is right for them, and that you never leave them and you never forsake them. Lord, I pray for our sick members in our church now, and I pray and ask that, Lord, whatever your will is for their life, that that will come to fruition and be with those who are taking care of them as well, because that can be tough on them also. Lord, we pray for our families of Stoke Church, and it's been a while since we've all been together, and it's been a while for even the whole family members to be meeting each other because of shielding. So, Lord, this COVID-19 is really taking its toll on different aspects of our lives, whether it's work, whether it's families, whether it's friendships, whatever it may be. Just give us the strength to be able to go through it now. Lord, whatever the other request was, I can't remember, but Lord, I'm just praying and asking that you would just be rich in everyone that is represented here now, and that, Lord, as we live in our own daily lives, that you will help us to be an example and witness to those that we come into contact with. I pray that you give us the right words to say through difficult questions that may be asked, and especially with a lot of the things that's going on now in this world, and it doesn't look like it's good, and people are questioning who you are, Lord. But just help us in any time we are questioned that we can just find the right words to say. So I want to thank you for everybody who has joined the Prayer Power Hour tonight, and I pray that each one can go away with something and receive the blessing from what we have discussed. So continue to be with us now. This I pray in your name. Amen.